Amen. While we're singing, you know, that is who God is. It came into my heart that as we begin to understand who God is, He begins to speak to us about who we are. And we have less trouble understanding who God is than we do understanding who He says we are. We have trouble accepting who God says that we are. Turning on this thing, I couldn't see whether the light is because of these, you know, love handles or whatever. Praise the Lord this morning. He is good. I found out, you know, that there is not all that many different topics to speak about in terms of the gospel, but there is a number of different approaches. And so what I want to speak about is an old thing, but maybe how I go about it is a little bit different, and that's because I'm not normal, so we'll go with that. What I want to speak about this morning is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. And this is a blank that is not a blank. It is never blank. But I want to come back to that and put some words in there for our consideration this morning. But first of all, review. I want to review, where is the Spirit of the Lord? Paul in Romans chapter 8 talks about that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. I think it's Matthew 18 and 20. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So the Spirit of the Lord is in and is among His people. And I want our dear pastor to know that I have been listening to his sermons, and that scripture that Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, this is the third week in a row that has been referred to. So God maybe wants us to know that He is close, He is among, He is with His people. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is all kinds of things I could talk about. Words that we could put there. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is deliverance. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is healing. These are some tremendous things that I don't think it hurts if you get up in the morning and say, well, I'm going to think about where the Spirit of the Lord is, what words I can put in there. But this morning, I don't want to go that direction. I want to go another direction. In Corinthians, Paul talks about that we are workers together with Him. Now, I don't know who the we was, and Paul's a pretty special guy. But he goes on to talk about in Ephesians 4, if you want to read these things for yourself and see that I'm not lying to you, he says he's put in the church certain ministries, pastors, evangelists, teachers. And he says the reason those ministries are in the church is for the perfecting or the maturing or enabling of the saints for the work of the ministry. So if I understand what is going on or should be going on in the church, is that there are ministries which are ministering to people so that they may minister. Now, we maybe need to get a grasp of what are we talking about with ministry. And for today, for what I'm talking about, I'll give you my definition. My definition of ministry is when God hooks up with his church, with his children, to accomplish his will and his purpose on the earth. Now, those are really nice. I like plural words because, you see, that means there's somebody else I can hide behind, you know. But God knows how to get very personal and pointed in his approach to faith. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord, today that he knows our name. So this is ministry. God wants to hook up with me, however many me's there are, to accomplish his will and his purposes on the earth. I heard a story way back in my past, and I probably have forgotten most of it, and it seems to be, I almost hope that this is a story that somebody created for, but the story goes that somebody in a remote location had a house that was built actually on the floodplain, and for whatever reason, or a flood came one year, and for whatever reason, he, by the time he noticed it and how fast the flood came up, his only place of safety was up on the roof. So he went up on the roof and he began to pray, God, help me. God, get me out of this. And lo and behold, this guy with a boat comes along says, hey there, you need some help? And he says, no, that's okay. God's going to rescue me. Now, the point, of course, is the fact the number of prayers that go up to God, and he says, I need to answer that prayer, and then he involves a human with this. The number of needs that God meets, and he takes somebody alongside and says, hey, come on, this is what we are doing today. So, the words that I want to talk about today is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there will be a call. Now, I was raised on the farm, and I'm getting so dry that that alleviates a problem. I was raised on a farm, and probably because I was never where I was supposed to be, my mother had this yoo-hoo thing. Now, I won't try and imitate it, but I mean, she could make the hills vibrate a bit. And it's, yoo-hoo, I want to talk to you. Yoo-hoo, I need you to come and see what I want. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there will be a call. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there will be a commission or an assignment. In other words, a job given. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there will be enablement to do what God assigns you to do. I do have notes. I want to look at, as an example, Moses. We all know about Moses. Actually, in Exodus, the early part of Exodus, the first part tells the struggles that the children of Israel are under. And then in a few short verses, it tells about 80 years of Moses' life. But we understand that Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. I read the account of him out and about and seeing this Egyptian wailing on an Israelite. And the Bible, I always thought, I don't know where it came from, but I always thought that, he kind of got involved and got carried away and ended up killing the Egyptian. But the Bible really clearly states that when he saw this, he looked around, nobody was watching, so he killed the Egyptian and hid the body. Kind of a bad dude. He had to flee. He got hooked up with this Jethro character, and one of his daughters as well. And he looked after sheep, his father-in-law's sheep. It sounds like a pretty calm life. But the Bible talks about the children of Israel in their distress began to cry out to God. They begin to pray. And guess what happens? The burning bush. God puts a call to Moses, and I want to read to you from Exodus 3, 9 and 10. It says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." People prayed, and God tapped Moses on the shoulder and said, "This is what I'm going to do." And he began to share with him what he planned to do and what he expected Moses to plan to do. And then Moses had different things that he, well, what about this? And God enabled him to do what he asked him to do. Where I'm going with this is the other unique thing about Moses, story of Moses and what happened, there is nothing like it ever happens again. You can see many, many incidences of where God actually calls people and he gives them an assignment. But that exact circumstances, and I would like to, the uniqueness of God's call and people's situation and the need, there is no sameness about how things are. But I would also like to suggest to you this morning, the Spirit of the Lord is in his people. That's what Paul declared. And I would suggest to you, using one of Jared's words, that there is a strong tension in the people of God to be involved with his work. There is a strong tension in the people of God to hear his voice. Way back in 2004, I was to the funeral of a man who at 70 years of age had had a stroke and died. I found out at that funeral that he had at one point told one of his sisters, he said that he had no recollection of ever not knowing that he was to preach the gospel. And that indeed is what he did, actually from the time he was a teenager until his stroke. That's an absolute fantastic, amazing thing. It's inspirational. But you know what else? I also find it frustrating. Because, you know, here I am a little past middle age, and I mean, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. You know, I don't know what I'm supposed to be in the church. I don't even know how to evaluate God's working in my life. I'm not depressed about it because I actually, if you got the time, I can tell you some good stories, some stuff that I really, proud isn't the word, but I'm amazed how God does things, and I was involved with it. But and then there's those other ones that I wouldn't talk about very much because I knew I was supposed to do something and I didn't do it. I don't know whether you, you know, I don't know how do you evaluate what God is doing in your life and your ministry before Him. So, what I want to do this morning is, I wrote at the top of my notes, I said, I wish I knew more about this subject. You know, serving God and being involved with His will and in His purposes on the earth. So what I'm going to do for the next few minutes is just suggest some things. The one thing that I would suggest to the church, to the children of God, be encouraged. Because the Spirit of the Lord is in you to do His purpose. Oh, I know that there's other tensions and other things, but I want to tell you that God leads His children, and God motivates His children. And so I would say, be encouraged. I would also say that we have no way of evaluating what God is doing at any given moment, that I'm going to take a drink of water. That spiritual things are not always thrills and chills. The fact is, they may resemble very much the word work. I don't think it's a mistake when they talk about the work of the ministry, that it involves work. The words faithfulness, commitment, obedience always have been really, really important words. And they shouldn't go out of style. We may not get a lot of feedback or knowledge, even when we are doing things that we feel God has led us to do. We may not get a lot of feedback or acknowledgement or understanding whether even it is effective. But if we are walking in obedience, that's God's problem. And there is one thing that I always want to talk about, and I know parents, you understand kingdom stuff needs to go, should go, and is going on in your home. You know, there are lives that are entrusted to you that are eternal lives, and that's an amazing thing that should be happening and is happening in homes. The other thing, there's times people forget, you know, when you get a couple of old people like us. We had four children. The oldest one was six when number four was born. But the one thing as parents that I have always appreciated is the fact of the people. We're not in this alone. We're not a lone ranger. That other people have so gloriously, in some cases, affected our children in a godly way. And I'm so thankful for that. And you know what? There's stuff happened that I didn't know about. There's stuff that people being obedient to what they felt God wanted them to do ministered into the lives of my children. And I'm thankful for that. Be blessed. I want to read one scripture in closing here. And it's in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generation forever and ever." Praise the Lord. Don't sell the Spirit of the Lord working in you short. There's amazing things for the church and for the children of God. Amen.